This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9, The Morning Run. I'm Khoo Soo Chong with Philip C. And now on the line to discuss what's really moving markets, we've got Danny Wong, the Chief Executive of Eureka Capital. Good morning, Danny. Now, unlike the US and UK stock exchanges, ASEAN equity markets have had trouble building upward momentum recently. What would explain, in your opinion, their relatively lackluster performance?
Good morning. Okay, first of all, I think the performance was largely because of the developed market has a large amount of stimulus cash vis-a-vis ASEAN countries. The other thing, of course, the fast economy reopening and recovery in emerging market is actually slightly slower because emerging market is more biased to savings lives than livelihood as compared to, you know, developed market. But the main thing is actually developed market is actually, the question is actually whether is developed markets running too far or ASEAN is actually lag behind. Mm-hmm. You look at it, I think Dow Jones, NASDAQ, S&P, actually they are about 20%, you know, 25% for S&P, whereas the Asian are still, some of the countries still negative. So the strong performance could be somewhat attributed by some of the tech and tech related stock in the developed market, like in US, you know, the big names like Alphabet, you know, which Google, Microsoft, or even Tesla, Tesla and other things, they run, you know, very far ahead, you know, about 70%, 50% from, you know, beginning of the year. So I think right. Emerging market is lack of this kind of stock. So that could be, the to explain why, you know, the developed market's running far ahead of the of this part of the world.
Yeah, so perhaps Christmas came too early for these kind of markets. but can I get your perspective on China specifically? Because actually, if you look at the CSI 300, it's a very interesting trend. There was a huge drop, right, early this quarter as a result of the regulatory crackdown. And then you've seen it stagnate, right? So year to date, net 8%. So I want to get your perspective, Danny. Do you see the performance continuing to plateau? Or is there any upside or even perhaps downward revision?
Well, I'm also affected by these Chinese stocks. But then lately, you are right, there's a bit plateau, and then investors are looking for clue whether it will going up again, or are they waiting for the news? But it seems like, you know, the policy risk has mostly priced in, and now of course the sentiment's affected. A lot of people still, you know, worry that there could be further more news come out. But, you know, market is very forecastful. Just needs a bit of time. I would believe that, you know, the strong fundamental will overtake this sentiment weakness.
So, Danny, as we go into the end of 2021 and into 2022, right, there's a sense that with the Fed normalization of interest rates, right, and of course, China, which we just talked about, is appears to be slowing down. And obviously, the market impact will be a negative, right? What's your opinion going into the end of this year and into next year for emerging markets specifically?
I'm pretty positive on the emerging market on the basis that the recovery actually is a bit slow, but it's actually catching up fast. Malaysia, Singapore, for example, our vaccination rate is very fast. So based on that, the economy will come back soon. So for that, I'm pretty positive on, you know, maybe 1-2 months, I cannot predict it, but given us a little bit longer time, we will catch up and we'll do better.
I see. Can I get a perspective on one sector, which is the E&E sector? Now, the past 48 hours really has been a bit of a roller coaster. We saw Inari results, great results. On the flip side, we saw Arta AMS, right, really basically feeling the pressure from investors. So with the view of global chip shortage expected to last till 2023, what's your view or prognosis of the Malaysian E&E sector then?
As the nation's is building up the chip-making capacities, you know, there'll be increasing demand on the back-end equipment, assembly, testing, services, and whatnot. Maybe one or two stocks that maybe they're affected by labor concern, the labor supply issue, or there's some other thing. But sooner or later, in general, these stocks will come back. You know, you mentioned about Inari, you mentioned some other E&E counters. I'm sure they will net benefit from this spillover effect. I think the trade wars and the rivals between the two big economies also resulted more result coming back to or come to Malaysia. And you can see a lot of announcement on, for example, partnership and JV with the with either part, either economies, you know, of which we benefit Malaysia as a whole.
Okay, and with, you know, obviously we know that Malaysian plantation companies have benefited from strong CPO prices this year, Danny. Now some brokers are calling for a post-rally correction in prices. Do you agree with that view?
Well, I think recently they allowed an increase in the foreign worker entry. It may help the FFB harvesting and also CPO's production. So hence likely that the supply issue will normalize somewhat. So once the supply normalize, of course, the CPO price will also somewhat will not stand too high for that. You know? But though the earnings seems to be benefiting some of the high CPO players, despite labor shortage, share price did not really reflect rather the share price did not run in tandem with the CPO price. In fact, they run a bit, but not so high, but possibly because people do see that the price may not sustain at this high level. So the other reason why the price didn't catch up is because of the potentially, you know, some investors, typically institutions, are concerned about ESG issue. So all this coming in, I think the CPO price, once the supply is catching up, it will normalize. And then let's see what will be the profit then.
Okay, once again, thank you so much for your time, Danny. That was Danny Wong, Chief Executive of Eureka Capital. Yeah, I mean, you know, ASEAN markets, not just Malaysia, just ASEAN generally, right? And we've seen a slew of corporate earnings from, you know, North America, right?
Yeah.
NVIDIA, for example, which we'll get to in a second. NVIDIA is a $350 billion market cap company. And a lot of people are saying it's going to get bigger because of the metaverse. They build this whole virtual world with their, you know, very fast graphics chips, right?
I mean, just to give you some context to the ASEAN markets you were mentioning too. I mean, if you look at the US markets, up like high 20%, right? Even low 30% year-to-date increase. But if you look at the key ASEAN indices, right, with the exception of Malaysia, which is year-to-date negative, like Philip Manila, Jakarta, Bangkok, Singapore, they're all in the mid-teens year-to-date growth. So it really shows that there's a lot of catching up to do versus developed markets.
Yeah, and of course, when NVIDIA reports and they move up, you know, Malaysia's biggest market cap is Maybank, right?
Yeah.
$22 billion. NVIDIA, one company alone, is 350. Just wrap your head around that for 1 second.
Yes.
So on the back of that, right, fiscal third quarter earnings, sales beat expectations, stocks rose over 5% extended trading, right? Net income increased by 84% to $2.5 billion, right? That is ginormous.
Yeah, you know, one of the great things about NVIDIA is that they have these graphics processors, which are so critical for artificial intelligence and machine learning. Now, their growth is driven not only in the gaming industry, which I think your son would probably know them quite well.
Unfortunately.
Because of the chips they do. Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately.
But they made great forays also into the hyperscalers, which is the cloud centers, right, like Google, Amazon, because you need these kind of sophisticated chips to basically do high processing power. And that is why NVIDIA is in such a great position. Now, the challenge with NVIDIA is that they're trying to expand and they purchased a UK business called Arm. And that is going through a UK regulatory probe at the moment. And they are also partly a co-investor with SoftBank.
Yeah, the interesting part is that in terms of turbocharging earnings, the other portion is the data center, right? As you say, you need data centers, you need servers if you're going to go and mine Bitcoin, which is the other big thing that is really driving markets. The flip side of that whole 21st century internet disruption thing is, you know, the old behemoths, the Internet 1.0 players. Mm. And you can call Cisco one of those players, right? Cisco also reported Q1 results, revenue $13 billion, 8% up year on year, but missed expectations. I think maybe a tale of two halves. They are facing issues of supply shortages, had to pay higher logistics costs to receive the materials needed. And of course, as we know, product revenue performance was led by growth in secure agile networks, which includes data centers, but not data centers, but the switches themselves.
It's a very interesting point you make, you know, because you always call this the old tech, like anything more than 10, 20 years.
Do you remember John Chambers? Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, right? John Chambers, Larry Ellison, all these guys. But, you know, when you look at the numbers, actually, 8% is actually not back for a behemoth, to be very honest, right? And if you look at the bottom line, I mean, 37% increase year on year is also a pretty stellar number, but it just didn't meet expectations of analysts.
Yeah, exactly. One more item and relatively good news because Americans are taking more showers. they are. According to Bath & Body Works, they reported revenue $1.7 billion third quarter, but down 1.25%. So does that mean they're a bit more smelly this quarter?
Well,
than last
look,
quarter?
Can I just say that there's no correlation between taking showers and the performance of Bath and Body Works. And similarly, I think this is more a question about really whether the product has been able to take the benefit as people move on from work from home.
Absolutely, absolutely. BFM 89.9.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.